Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I am Brian Haydad. Rhino is down there in Studio X. He'll make sure that things go the way that they're supposed to go, as much as anyone can when dealing with an uncontrollable force of nature such as myself. We are brought to you by the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg. What's the website? It's visitvicksburg.com. Check out the calendar of events. They've got a lot of stuff that I don't even bring up here on the show, including a lot of the live musical acts you can see at the casinos in Vicksburg and some of the different restaurants like Key City Brewery. Check it out, visitvicksburg.com. What do you think we're going to talk about tonight? Baseball, baseball, baseball. Former Bulldog Wes Ray will join us in about 13 minutes. We're going to talk some baseball with him. But obviously the news of the day is Mississippi State back in the postseason for the first time since 2021. The last postseason baseball game Mississippi State played in, they won a national title in. That will not be the case this Friday when they take on St. John's. But the path to Omaha starts back up for Mississippi State this weekend. And obviously, a lot of talk this week and in the previous weeks about hosting and where did that get away from Mississippi State. One of the things we have to start having when we have these discussions is nuance. We have to start being able to look at a situation and say, hey, two things can be true at the same time. And these two things are true at the same time. I know it's a little early for the things that are true. We're not quite to football season yet, but Mississippi State absolutely deserved to host and got hosed out of the spot. No question. That is a true statement, what I just said. Also true, Mississippi State has no one to blame but themselves for the reason they aren't hosting. Also true, 100%. And, you know, you think back to the season and some of the losses the Bulldogs had, not just the quad four losses as well. You know, a lot of people want to circle that and say, well, they had these five terrible losses and that's what hurt them. No question that did hurt them. But dropping two games to Florida when you went into the bottom of the ninth when you had the lead. Dropping a game to Ole Miss on the road where you had a four-run lead in the bottom of the eighth. Dropping two games to Arkansas that you led hurt you. Dropping a game to Alabama on a Sunday when they were, you know, had been playing with stomach viruses all weekend and you couldn't close them out. Those are losses that hurt Mississippi State as well. Any one of State has what, 20 losses on the season? I would be willing to guarantee to tell you that any one of those 20 losses, if I could turn it into a win, might have just been enough to put State into the NCAA tournament as a host instead of going on the road to Charlottesville. But all that being said, it just is what it is. So I will say this. I think that State has been put into a regional that they are capable of winning. They are matched up with a super regional opponent that we've already seen they can be competitive with. The path, as I said, is there for Mississippi State to make a run back to the College World Series. But if Dakota Jordan and Hunter Hines aren't in the car, then that's going to be a really short trip for the Bulldogs. Those two guys are in as bad a slump as I've ever seen, and it's so weird that they're both in a slump. Normally, a slump is something that happens to one guy, and the whole team's trying to work around him, and they're trying to build him back up, and eventually he'll get there. I remember Jake Mangum going into a slump going into the 2019 postseason. But to have both your big hitters, your big power guys slumping at the same time is pretty remarkable. And then when you consider that State won two games in the SEC tournament and had a great chance to win both games that they lost, despite Jordan and Hines and their lack of production, it really shows you what this team is capable of if they can get everybody going in the right direction. From a pitching perspective, they're one of the best teams in the country. And that turnaround is just incredible. It becomes more and more incredible every time I think about it. From a hitting perspective, they're just a bang average to below average team. But it's because, in my opinion, they just have never gotten everybody going in the right direction at the same time. You'll have a weekend where you have two or three guys hit well, and another weekend where another two or three guys hit well. You haven't had a weekend. You haven't had a stretch of games where 1 through 9, everybody's coming up there and seeing the ball well and delivering hits. If you could ever get that, this is a team that can beat literally anybody in the nation when they're going to get the kind of pitching they're getting from Steven, from Durangelo, from Brooks Auger, from Pico Khan. But you've got four guys that you really feel really good about throwing out there as starters. And now with Nate Doan coming in, you've got three guys in the bullpen that you feel really, really good about. I mean, that's about all you can ask for at this time of the year. You have seven guys from pitching. So Ole Miss would be hosting with our record. Well, when you look at Ole, I mean, you got a I disagree. If Ole Miss had the same losses, they would be in the same spot Mississippi State is in. State's RPI is a mathematical function. It's not a name brand thing. And if nothing else, Mississippi State has a great name brand in baseball, so that's not the issue. No, they just don't have the wins. They have the bad losses outweighed some of the wins. And I saw a point on a message board that made a lot of sense to me. And it's that State's a quad one team. So, yeah, they had a lot of quad one wins. They had 16, which was fourth best in the country. But when you're a quad one team, you should expect to beat other quad one teams. State was 16 and 13 in those games. Is that incredibly impressive? Well, is it? If they were 23 and 6, okay, that's impressive. But being three games over 500, I mean, that's what they should expect to be, right? Be around the 500 mark. The five losses are what stand out. A quad one team should not lose five games to a quad four team. They just shouldn't. Bubba and Starball, on this show a year ago, I called for Lamonis' head. I was 100% wrong. I give him all the credit in the world. Go Dawgs. And yes, they did get screwed. So did USM. I don't disagree with you at all, Bubba. And I mean, with Lamonis, I said it. I was like, hey, if they have a season like they've had the last 2 years, he's going to go. I have no doubt in my mind, if State had had the same season as, let's switch what that previous texter said, let's switch that around. If State had Ole Miss's record and was out of the tournament, well, then today I would be coming here to talk to you about the new head, you know, where State's going to look for a new head baseball coach. No question in my mind. Lamonis gets a lot of credit. He made a hire that worked out perfectly in Justin Parker. He was able to make a lot of good decisions throughout the year. He pushed some of the right buttons, and he got his team where they wanted to be. They were at the precipice of hosting, despite being picked dead last in the SEC West. He deserves a ton of credit for that. By the way, don't forget, if you do want to text the show, it's the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. Happy to talk with you guys. Given Greenwood has a question for me for to ask Wes Ray. I'll get to that when we bring him on. State's in a winnable regional. Virginia is a very good hitting team. State is a very good pitching team. So if we get that matchup on Saturday in the winner's bracket, you know, we'll have to see. And I think State can be a good hitting team. But I've got to see. This first game, we're going to have a real good idea, I think. If Jordan and Hines come out there and they're missing badly and they're just getting run off the plate and they're striking out, then I think we're going to say, okay, well, it might be a long weekend. Or switch that around, it could be a short weekend for Mississippi State. But if you get at the end of the first game, and let's just say Jordan is 2 for 4 with a single and a double, maybe a couple RBI, and Hines is 2 for 4 with a single and maybe a double, maybe even a home run. If they're hitting in that first game, then they're going to be fine. I'm interested to see what Lamonis does with the lineup. You know, moving Hines down didn't seem to really do anything for Mississippi State. It didn't bring him out of that. And they kept Jordan where he was. And, you know, I know he had the two RBI single against Tennessee, but then the at-bat after that, he wasn't able to deliver. And then you have Connor Hyzak, who's hitting at a great clip. David Mershon's hitting the ball very well. I thought Amani Larry had an outstanding SEC tournament. Logan Kohler had a few good hits. Joel Powell had a good week a couple weeks ago. You got some guys there that if you could just get them all on the same page and get a couple of games of them hitting together, you can beat anybody in the country. So we'll just have to wait and see. I like State's chances in this regional. I think, you know, right now making predictions, I think that State's going to take this weekend. I think they're going to advance to the Super Regional round. But it's really hit or miss for me, and there's no pun intended there. It is either State wins this regional and moves on and can get some things going, or Jordan and Hines don't show up and State maybe wins one, but they don't ever beat Virginia. And then they probably go to the regional final and lose. You know, they probably go 2-2 on the weekend. They've got to get those guys going. So how is that going to happen? Maybe Wes Ray can give us some answers into the mindset of a hitter when he's in a slump. Not that he was in a lot of slumps in his career, but maybe you know, we'll see what he says. He's a guy who knows baseball a lot more than we do. So we'll talk to the former Diamond Dog when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hey, this is Bob.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's go! Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brought to you by Visit Vicksburg. Wes Ray is joining us right now. Wes, I know you can't see because you know you're not on the screen with us here. The caption we have for you here is Wes Ray has as many triples as stolen bases.
that's a heck of a stat to open up with, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that stolen base is one of the all-time great moments in Bulldog baseball. I put it up there with Elijah McNamee, Burke Masters, any of them.
Yeah, I got some buddies, and I see that replay from time to time. It's a pretty good one.
Wes, obviously, you had you're on the team that went to Virginia in 2013 and won that Super Regional to advance to Omaha. You had two of the biggest plays in that Super Regional, that massive home run, which may or may not still be traveling deep into the trees there at Virginia. But I think people forget that final out and the defensive play you had to make sometimes. You talk us through that final out, and you know, I remember you telling Jonathan Holder, "I got you," at the end of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, a play that you're never really ready for that just kind of happens and you hope you're prepared. And it's just a, you know, something that you pray that it finds your glove, and it did, you know. But that was definitely a big out for sure.
Wes, you played in regionals on the road and you played in regionals, you know, at home. Is there, you know, obviously you'd prefer to be at home and be in front of your crowd, but is there something to the idea that playing on the road sort of can take the pressure off a team sometimes?
I think so, absolutely. A lot of that pressure's off, you know. I mean, when you're at home and, you know, you're really fired up, you know, Duty Noble's about to fill up, you know. I mean, there's definitely some added nerves there that are not there when you're on the road. I think you're able to maybe take a little of that pressure off and focus a little bit more when you're on the road, and hopefully that's what we can do this weekend.
You've had a chance to watch this team this year. One of the things, one of the comments I made throughout the year was the similarities to the 2014 team, a team that, you know, probably lost a couple of games it shouldn't have lost, and that's what ended up costing it a hosting spot. When you've watched this team this year, do you see some similarities between that team or any other team that you played on here at Mississippi State?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the biggest difference this year with this team is they've just found an identity and they found a role. And, you know, there's been a set lineup they can, you know, look forward to every day and get ready for. And they kind of know what guys are going to fall into what position. And that's the biggest thing, especially in big games, you know, big situations. Your team's ready for those moments because, you know, that guy's been in that situation a bunch that season, or that bullpen guy's been in that situation a lot that season. And I think that's really prepared this team more so than teams in the past, and I think that's a lot of, you know, very similar to the teams that we had. You know, we had a lot of guys that were, in the position and ready for it, you know. So I'm excited to see what this team can do.
Obviously, you were a hitter, but the biggest part of this season, the turnaround, I think, is what's happened with the pitching staff. When you see what Justin Parker has been able to do with this staff and how much better they are than a season before, you know, what is it that pitching coaches are doing that can make that big of a change?
Man, I tell you guys, I walked into our pitching lab, and it is just so much more advanced than when we were there even, you know, 14 years ago. I mean, the technology they have and they're using for spin rate, I mean, those guys are getting fed data after every single pitch that we had no clue it even existed, you know, just 12, 14 years ago. So I'm sure a lot of that's contributing to it. It sounds like they've totally bought into all the new analytics of that side of the game. And like I said, I mean, these guys have just gotten confident and, you know, found their role in the bullpen and really settled in. I think that's what really drives the pitching staff. You know, they know what to expect every single weekend. They're ready for it mentally. So he's done a hell of a job, though, for sure.
Not that you had a lot of slumps when you were playing at Mississippi State, but you've watched Hunter Hines and you've watched Dakota Jordan these past couple weekends, and they're just not feeling it right this second. As a hitter, when do you realize that you're in a slump?
Oh, man. I tell you what, it reminds me of Lane Burrows, who I was really close with during my time there, and he recruited me in high school. I can remember freshman year going through a tough time. You know, a freshman in this league is not easy. There's some big-time arms in this league. And he just really broke it down from a standpoint of saying, man, you got to look at it like this. This is a short season. You know, we're playing 50 to 60 games. You know, some of those guys were in like a, you know, 0 for 40, 1 for 40 stretch. You know, that's only a week, 8 days of baseball in the big leagues. You know, when you're playing 30 games a day, you look at any big leaguer and can say, man, they can have a weak slump and it not even faze them. So you just got to tell yourself, you know, hey, these are some big-time arms. This is what happens to the best in the world, and I just got to keep getting ready to go to the park and swing it every day.
I remember a couple years ago there was a clip of Pete Rose talking about when you're in a slump that, you know, change where you sit in the batter's box, change maybe something. Don't ever change your swing, because your swing is what got you to this point. As a player, you know, what do you do in the cage? What are you doing in the film room when you're in a slump to try to get out of it?
Man, I was a guy, I really didn't try to change my swing. You know, I think what you said, spot on. You know, when you're not seeing the ball and you're in a slump like that, you're really just not seeing the baseball. You know, everything about hitting is revolved around you seeing the spin of that baseball. And when you're not seeing it like those guys have been, you know, you just can't see it. It looks like a white blob coming at you, and you don't know where it's going, you know. So the biggest thing is just trying to get comfortable and seeing that baseball again. And those guys took some big swings this week in the regional, so hopefully that lights a fire under them. They're seeing it better, ready to go for this regional.
And is it just as simple to come out of it as if you get a hit, if you just run into a ball and get a hit, does that sometimes snap things back into focus for you?
Absolutely. You know, like anything, just get you back in the rhythm. You know, anything, you know, a lot of coaches will try hit and run is just to get you in a mind frame of, hey, I'm swinging at this pitch, just take all the guesswork out of it. And, you know, there's all kind of little things you can try in the games. But like I said, I mean, those guys took a few big swings this week, so I think they're starting to see it a little bit better.
Wes, when you think back to your time at Mississippi State, obviously a lot of great memories, and you had that great run to Omaha there. Is there one moment, is it the Virginia home run that stands out above all else for you?
As far as moments, yeah, obviously that's a big one. You always remember the home runs, but and really just the run, that team, and that entire year, you know, just experiencing making it to that final game and our fan support and seeing how awesome they are, you know, that's what you really look back on and remember.
One more thing for you, Wes, before we get out of here. And you know, if we embarrass you on this one, well, it's just going to have to be that way. But we have a listener here who had a question for you. His name is Gibbon Greenwood. And he asked if you've ever caught a tire on your boat prop.
Oh, man. No, sir, I have not. I believe Gib Ellis from Greenwood is the only human that I've ever seen catch a tire on a boat prop. Yes, sir.
So,
I got to give a shout-out to my Dicamba dogs. That's a good group from the Delta. So yeah,
I think we have some mutual friends in that group, Wes, yes, as well as that. So, all right, obviously, you know, in Charlottesville this weekend, and then in Fayetteville next weekend for the Diamond Dogs. If they head back to Omaha, am I going to see Wes Ray there?
Absolutely, I wouldn't miss this one for the world. You know, I wasn't able to make it that last trip, and probably one of my biggest regrets of
me and you
my
both,
entire life. So, I don't think I'll miss another one.
When you think about that 2013 team, I mean, some of those guys are still, you know, doing their thing in the majors. It's fun to look back at that team because, you know, during the regular season, y'all were a good team. But I don't think we realized at the time just how talented that roster was top to bottom.
Yeah, it kind of came into its own. You know, that was kind of that recruiting class's junior year where you really grow into who you are as a player. And it was, you know, it was awesome. I think we got up to 9 or 10 guys in the big leagues off that roster, which is, I think, tied for a record, but pretty incredible. Pretty incredible.
What Mississippi State loves to push the family thing, and with the former Diamond Dogs, you know, on average, how many of your former teammates and how many former MSU baseball players do you talk to in a week?
Oh man, it's a large portion of them. You know, we got a group message with Fantasy League still rolling. You know, I would say a group of 15 to 20 of us probably keep up pretty much weekly, you know, and got all the fantasy and brackets and all that going and keep up through that, weddings and things. But it was a real special group. We definitely keep up with most of them.
Have you ever thought about getting into coaching?
I don't think so. I don't think so. The hassle these guys are having with this NIL stuff now is absolutely crazy. I don't think I'd like that hassle.
What Starkville restaurant would you have had an NIL deal with?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I would probably have to go with the Grill. Shout out to my guy Terry at the Grill. He's not there anymore. I think he's at Walk-Ons, but they always took care of us.
I know Terry. Yeah, you're correct. He is there now, but that's a good guy, really good guy there.
Sir.
So, oh, well, Wes Ray, appreciate the time. Appreciate the stroll down memory lane. Hope to see you again soon, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys. Good dogs.
Wes Ray, former Diamond Dog. That's some good stuff about the slump ideas and how Dakota Jordan and Hunter Hines are going to have. They got to get out of it. That's the only way for Mississippi State to get back to where they want. But I'll tell you this. If Jordan and Hines come out hitting this weekend, this Diamond Dog team can beat just about anybody in the country. We'll talk a little bit more baseball. We'll look around the nation at the bracket and get some thoughts on that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
This is Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Thanks again to Wes Ray for joining me here. We appreciate that. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi, brought to you by the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg.com is the website. And, of course, go there, check out the calendar of events. Find out everything that's going on in the River City. We are, of course, here on Thunder and Lightning Live, which this show is available as a podcast as well on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed, along with Thunder and Lightning podcast 5 days a week. The no big deal, just the nation's number one sports news podcast. No, it's nothing to that. Don't worry about that. That's light work for your boy here. I appreciate you guys tuning in. You're the reason that we're number one, and we will continue to keep bringing you a lot of great stuff going forward. So let's look at this bracket. You know, everybody gets into the brackets for basketball. Nobody does a baseball bracket. Should do that. I think USM got hosed as well, to be totally honest with you. They're headed to Knoxville. I mean, USM was, their RPI was one below state. Why are they on this side of the bracket, and why are they in the number one overall seed? I'll go ahead and tell you that in 16 of these regions, if USM was there, I would probably pick them to advance in 12 or 13 of them. But this is not one of them, unfortunately. So Tennessee paired up with the Greenville Regional. That's the one that I if you made me say one of these teams can't host, who is it going to be? East Carolina is my choice, too. That should have been replaced by Mississippi State. But they get Wake Forest in their region, who's another outstanding two seed, and they'll play the winner of the Tennessee Regional, so they're not going very far. Regardless, I don't think East Carolina will get out of their region. The 8-9 scenario, Tallahassee is the 8, Norman is the 9. This has got to be Norman's first time to be a national seed. I don't think Oklahoma, even a few years back when they played for a national title, I don't remember who beat them, but that's irrelevant. I don't think that team was a national seed. I'd have to go back and look. I think they had to fight their way through the Supers. But they are the Norman Regional. They have Duke. Duke's playing really good. Duke is another team I thought might host. This might be the strongest two seeds that I've ever seen. You can make a legit case for Duke hosting. You can make a legit case for Mississippi State hosting. Wake Forest is a team that was going to host right up until the last weekend of the season when they got swept by NC State. Dallas Baptist is a team you could probably make a case for hosting. LSU is the hottest team in the country right this second. Indiana State was going to host right up until they lost their conference tournament. UC Irvine is a two seed. I think they were like 41-13 this year. South Carolina had a great SEC tournament. Vanderbilt had a great SEC tournament. It's just crazy, some of these two seeds here. Anyway, I like Duke to come out of the Norman region. Then down in Tallahassee, I think Florida State probably comes out. Although that's a tough regional for sure. Alabama down there. Alabama's a weird team. I don't even know that Alabama. There's been a lot of talk about Florida getting in, and I don't think Florida deserved to be in. But I don't know that Alabama did either. They were not a really good baseball team by the end of the season. The Fayetteville regional, Arkansas, obviously. Kansas State and La Tech are your 2 and 3 seeds there. Arkansas probably comes out of that. They're just so good at pitching. I'll be very interested to see that. That might be the best super regional, by the way, regardless of who goes. If it's Arkansas versus Virginia, you've got a great pitching team versus a great hitting team. And if you get Arkansas and Mississippi State, well, you've already seen that once this year. It was an incredibly competitive 3-game series. And if State is going to have a healthy Connor Hyzak and a healthy Nate Doan, maybe that's enough to shift the balance towards Mississippi State. So whoever comes out of the Charlottesville Regional, they have a real chance to get past Arkansas. I think that'll be an outstanding series. Tucson, that's the other regional everybody kind of had circled as why. The Wildcats, number 31 in the nation in RPI, but did win the Pac-12 regular season and conference tournament. So, okay, I can get it. I guess I can understand. I'll get over it. But Dallas Baptist might take that region, and they're paired with the Chapel Hill Regional, North Carolina. North Carolina could have been the one seed. Nobody would have really complained too much if UNC had been the one seed. They definitely could have been the two seed. Instead, they're the 4 seed, and they get rewarded with LSU, who 5 weeks ago was not even going to make the NCAA tournament and wasn't going to make the SEC tournament. But then they just turned it on. They decided to start playing baseball. And now I would tell you right now, they're probably I would take them to advance through this regional. Kentucky is the 2 seed. They're hosting the Lexington Regional. That's where Indiana State is. I mean, you got two top 10 RPI teams right there. Kentucky is good. I think they'll probably advance to Omaha. They're paired with the Corvallis Regional, which to me Corvallis is the weakest regional. UC Irvine is really good, but I mean Nichols and Tulane. Oregon State should advance. But Kentucky will probably get to Omaha. But I don't like Kentucky and Omaha. First time get there, I feel like the stage is too big for them. I'll be very surprised if Kentucky does anything when they get to the college, if they get to the College World Series. And then your 7-10, Raleigh and Athens. NC State, the team that got hot towards the end of the season. South Carolina was kind of struggling, but then they had a good run in the SEC tournament. They go to, and then you have the Athens Regional. I think Georgia advances pretty easily out of that with Charlie Condon. And then we'll... If it's NC State versus Georgia, that's a good matchup. I'm interested. You got my attention. Clemson. I think Clemson can get past Vanderbilt. The SEC tournament was interesting in that you had some teams really start playing good baseball. I thought State, Vanderbilt, LSU, South Carolina. We're not talking about the teams that won. Tennessee wins. But I thought you had three or four teams there that played really good baseball in there. Vanderbilt will give Clemson all they want, but I think the Tigers will advance. That's the Stillwater region. Oklahoma State should win this. Florida, I'm sorry. All right, I understand Florida's RPI and strength of schedule were really good. Really, I do. I get it. They were one game over 500. There's got to be something. You can't be in the NCAA tournament at one game over 500. I just can't get behind that 100 at all. But they're in. I don't think they'll go very far, though. I think Oklahoma State gets out of that one. And then you have the Santa Barbara Regional. Santa Barbara, one of my my late grandmother's favorite. Wasn't that the name of that Santa Barbara? Wasn't that one of the one that came over on after Days of Our Lives? She loved that show. That's another weak regional. It's all West Coast teams. They are tied with the College Station Regional. Texas A&M, not a great road team, so they'll probably be okay to get to Omaha. But when they get to Omaha, I don't know. I don't know about them. So we'll see. And then we'll have the Super Regionals, and the College World Series actually starts on Friday, June the 14th. If you made me pick, just right now, you made me pick. Let's see. Obviously, I'll go Tennessee. I'm going to go Florida State out of the 8-9. I think the Seminoles are a pretty good team. I'll take Arkansas to get through, but it's going to be iffy for them. It's going to be iffy. That'll be a Super Regional that goes three games, I think. Out of the 4-13, this is what I think is going to happen. I think LSU is going to win the Chapel Hill Regional, and I think Dallas Baptist is going to win the Tucson Regional, which means LSU will get to host a Super Regional, which is incredible when you consider that they were not going to make the SEC tournament as recently as like 5 weeks ago. What a turnaround for those guys. LSU, I have LSU advancing to Omaha. Defending national champion. So the curse, I guess, is broken. It's broken. State and Ole Miss went through it. LSU looked like they were going to go through it, but they found a way. See, you know what? It's a curse. They went and got a voodoo guy to break it. Makes total sense. I got Kentucky going to Omaha. I just don't think their path is that difficult. But once they get to Omaha, I don't like them there. I think they could be two and Q. Gosh, the toughest call to me is the Raleigh-Athens here, 7-10. I'm going to say NC State just so I'm not picking all chalk here. NC State's a team, you know, it's a program that's gotten that far before. Georgia is not. You know, it's been a long time since Georgia had a really good baseball team. So I'll take NC State there. I'll take Clemson to get to the College World Series. It's been a while since the Tigers have been there. And then I'll take Texas A&M to get there as well. But I Texas A&M is another one. So that's interesting then. So let's say that my theory holds up here, right? So you'd have A&M and Kentucky on the same side of the bracket, which means one of them would have to win a game. If they both lose their first game. So I would have Texas A&M taking on Clemson, and I would have Kentucky taking on North Carolina State. So let's say they both lose, then you have to have one of them win in the loser's bracket. So one of them would go 2-Q, the other one would be 1-2, and then be out of there. That's just how I'm seeing it. So I think State's regional is very winnable for the Bulldogs if two things: the pitching can remain at the same level that it was in the SEC tournament. If I'm going to get that kind of pitching from Steven, from Durangelo, from Brooks Auger, from Pico Khan, you can win that regional. But the other if is Dakota Jordan and Hunter Hines, they need to be on the plane. They need to show up and be ready to play and be ready to deliver when their time comes. It was uncanny how many times those guys came up in the SEC tournament with runners on base and weren't able to do anything. They need to be able to do something this week. If they can, then State can win this regional, advance the Super Regional. They can beat Arkansas if they get the hitting that they need. But those are big ifs. Big ifs. This deep into the season, you kind of are what you are at this point. So we'll see. I like State's chances, though. I'm going to take State to advance as we sit here today. Will I be surprised if they don't advance? No. Will I be surprised if they do advance? No. Kind of where I am with this team. We'll wrap it up when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's wrap it up here on a Wednesday evening, Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. We're brought to you by the good folks over at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg.com. Bubba and Starville wants to just a quick refresher on how the regionals work. Bubba, just think of it just like the NCAA tournament. You know, you have the one seed and they'll play the 16 seed. So it's just like one of the regions in an NCAA tournament bracket. So basically, if Southern Miss wins the Knoxville regional, in all essence, they become the one seed. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they would host the super regional. They will default to seeding on that. So if you weren't the one seed to start and the 16 seed wins, you will go, Southern Mississippi would go to East Carolina at that point. But from a bracket standpoint, that's where you are. So you have 1-16, 2-15, 3-14, all the way down to 8-9 is how that works. So hope that answers your questions. Trey in Saltillo says, he has a good feeling about this weekend. Would be perfect if Arkansas could get upset. We've proved we can play there, though. I feel good about this weekend, too, and maybe that's the curse of death for Mississippi State at this point with me, but it is what it is. I think State has a great chance to go up to Charlottesville. Again, if the best version of Mississippi State shows up for this regional, they're going to win it. If they can find the hitting and bring the pitching that we've seen the last couple of weeks, they'll win this regional. I just don't have any doubt in my mind about that at this time. So, hey, I want to give you guys a reminder that the Thunder and Lightning Catfish Tour is coming your way. We've locked in the dates. Our first date is going to be in 2 weeks, I believe. Let me double check that for you. But we've got it pretty much going there. We don't have all of the stops just yet. Yeah, 6/13. So June 13th will be our first stop on the Catfish Tour. That could change. Let me just go ahead and tell you that it could change if State's in the College World Series, but that right now is our plan. So we're going to be on June 13th, June 21st, June 27th, and then we will take a little bit of a break and come back on the 11th of July. So four stops this year on the Thunder and Lightning Catfish Tour. We'll be in Starkville for sure. We're planning to be in the Jackson area. We're planning to be in the Delta for one, and then maybe one in South Mississippi as well. So trying to spread out a little bit and enjoy some fantastic Superior catfish along the way. So, Rhino, I want you there if we do a Jackson one. You need to come eat some catfish with us.
I'm down.
Are you committing?
Yes.
We've got a verbal commitment there. Send out the graphic. Respect his decision. With all that being said, Rhino's going to eat catfish. Love to hear it. So we will get that. As I said, if I have more information on that, I will get it to you. One thing to say is this, that I have just received a picture of someone catching a tire on a boat prop, and it's as funny as I thought it would be. The thing I want to say is this. It's so great to not be focused on football today. I love college football more than any other. It's my favorite thing in the world other than my own family. But it is great for Mississippi State to be talking about college baseball again this time of year. It is great to be able to look at the postseason, and Mississippi State is back in it. I did an interview with Aaron Fitt a couple weeks ago for the podcast. And he just said it straight up. He's like, college baseball is better when Mississippi State is good. And, you know, a lot of times you hear that about, you know, some schools, and you're like, is it really? Is it really? But Mississippi State, and I won't be a jerk. Ole Miss is involved in this too. But Mississippi State, Ole Miss, LSU, Arkansas, when those schools are good, and you can get these big crowds, obviously State not hosting this week, LSU not hosting, but when you're seeing big college baseball crowds and you get those great atmospheres, that's good stuff. And I'm not one of these guys who's like, the committee needs to be doing a better job of growing the game. That's not the committee's job. That's us as a fan's job. But I definitely am excited that Mississippi State is back in postseason baseball. These last 2 years, I mean, they sucked. It weren't fun. It was not fun to turn the page to football in the middle of May. You know how hard that is? You know how hard it is to talk about college football 3 months before the start of the season? That's difficult. Thank you for Mississippi State. How about four more weeks of content, guys? Keep it going. We'll see what happens. So, appreciate you guys tuning in here on a Wednesday evening, as I always do. We've made this show grow, and I really appreciate everybody who tunes in and listens to it. And as far as the podcast goes, as we mentioned, you know, I'm not going to be too humble on that one. All right, number one in the nation, we are a podcast that focuses on Mississippi State sports. There are podcasts in this category that focus on MLB and NFL, and got some big name guys out there in that genre. And little old Thunder and Lightning keeps being number one, and it's because of you guys tuning in. I certainly appreciate you. Got a special guest host on tomorrow's podcast. Grace Ybarra from WCBI Sports joined me. She and I are the only two here. Everybody else went to Charlottesville. So I was like, hey, Grace, want to be on the pod? Because if she had said no, it would have just been me. So thanks to Grace. She's on with us tomorrow. Make sure you tune in. I thought she was fantastic. For Rhino, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening today to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.